Hi, this is DJ. This is the Generation Podcast, and I'm going to be talking today a little bit about Mark chapter 4, which really brought some clarity, or just some focus, just some thoughts that just kind of ruin in my mind. As we move into 2016, really, over the last 6 months, I have put up very infrequent podcasts, and not totally sure why that was. But generally, I don't podcast if I don't have something that I feel is really fresh and really burning. And to be honest, in the last 6 months, there have been it's just really been in a lot of ways. And I think as I've talked to many believers, there's been a lot of sifting. There's been a lot of trials, just a lot of pruning is the word I was looking for. It just took me a while to get there. And I feel like I'm in a completely new place than, say, I was 5 or 6 months ago. And yeah, I just feel like there's all sorts of stuff that is just kind of exploding out of my heart. And so I'm going to try to do maybe shorter ones, but more frequent podcasts. At least I'm going to try to get one up once a week, as I did for so many years. And still keeping that same vision of training, equipping, and just really spurring people on to believe for a manifestation of supernatural kingdom life as normal. And I believe the days that we are living in, wherever we are living, right now I spend some of the year in the West, and I spend some of the year or most of the year in the Middle East. And it doesn't really matter where we are right now. I think that there, for those that have any discernment whatsoever, there is a very, very clear sense that we are living in treacherous times. We are living in times where many, many people are gripped by fear, which is not ever the posture of a believer. Fear is sin. We're commanded not to fear. The only fear that's legal for the believer is the fear of the Lord. And every other fear is somehow the antithesis of faith. It's losing sight, and we are commanded. That is the number one commandment in God's word from Genesis to Revelation. Do not fear, or fear not. There is no commandment that is given from Genesis to Revelation that is more frequent. And I mean, it's something like, I don't know, it's something like 50 to 100 times more than whatever comes in second as the second most, the second most common command or exhortation in God's word. Fear not. But anyway, I want to meditate just for a moment, and I'll give some context, and this will be a short podcast, but I just really wanted to kick off. I just have so many things on my heart right now. I have some real clarity and some real convictions right now about, our approach to God's word and reading it daily. Sounds basic, but I'll explain that maybe in the next podcast or in a few podcasts. I'm not sure. There's just something else in my heart about just some things last year that the Lord really taught me through the way I approached diet and fitness, and how he taught me a number of things spiritually through that as well. Just the way the natural parallels the spiritual, and the scripture, of course, admonishes us to learn from the natural, to learn from the temporal, as it mirrors the spiritual. Of course, the spiritual being what takes priority and trumps the temporal and the natural. We have to have the eternal perspective, but it's just amazing some of the things the Lord really taught me, especially as it pertains to spiritual gifts and moving in power and seeing God's kingdom come. Sometimes us charismatics and those of us that are, you know, believing God for more in that realm have completely unrealistic expectations and fantasy ideas, really, about how it all works and how we can move forward. So I really want to come, maybe I'll just leave it with those two kinds of, those two topics as upcoming podcasts in the days and maybe weeks to come. But anyway, the verse that that came out to me this morning in my Bible study was Mark chapter 4, and it's Jesus speaking, he says, "For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light." Now, this teaching that those things that are in secret will one day be exposed, this is actually a theme. You find this teaching in the Old Testament. You find it in, obviously where Jesus is teaching here is repeated in other Gospels and other contexts in the Gospels. And also I think that you see it as well clearly taught through the epistles, through the other apostles' writings, this principle that whatever is in the dark will be exposed. And I mean, for believers, this is a warning, but it's also a promise. There's justice involved in this. But I want to look at it in another way, right now, just in light of believers. A big discussion has came up just recently because, and I just want to be as clear as possible, but there's a Marvel superhero movie called Deadpool that has just been released, and it's huge release in the West, and huge weekend, I guess, and all of a sudden, you're seeing in social media the debate amongst Christians about whether or not Christians should go see this movie. Sadly, there's many, many Christians that just, they don't exercise seemingly any discernment when it comes to movies that come out. They just, hey, whatever's out, whatever I'm hearing people talk about, I'm going to go see. I've already seen on my Facebook wall and in social media, I've seen all sorts of people who are Christian friends of mine that are mentioning, that they have seen the movie, enjoyed the movie, whatever. I'm going to call out something else that is just, would be along the same lines. It's the same thing with this television series, Game of Thrones, which I've never seen, but which I know is fully, it's very violent, of course, but it's also full of sensuality and immorality. And I see all sorts of Christian friends that watch it, talk about it, and can't wait for the next episode to be released. And so in many ways, what we're talking about here with what I'm talking about with Deadpool and what I'm talking about with Jesus' teaching here, this is not I wouldn't say that this is a sudden phenomena. I think it's a 25-year slide, maybe 30-year slide. As I was writing to somebody today, just commenting on this, I said, it's a million compromising decisions or 1,000 compromised decisions over the course of a couple of decades that we find ourselves in a day when Christians actually think that going and seeing a movie, which is advertised as, and, I saw the parental guide on it, graphic nudity and sex, and all sorts of other, innuendo and just stuff that Jesus would have never, ever subjected himself to, and we're supposed to be like Jesus in this world. Jesus, the scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus said, as the Father sends me, so I send you imitate me, Jesus said. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And we live in a day where many Christians think that imitating Jesus and living like Jesus is somehow, I don't know, maybe they think it's an optional extra. It's somehow, hey, I didn't sign up for the, you know, that Christian life plan. I signed up for the, hey, I just want to, you know, believe in Jesus, have this fire insurance faith. I'll find myself comforted by the false grace message that's being, you know, taught by many people today that says that there's no sin in our lives as believers, and we never have to ask for forgiveness ever again because there's no sin. It's been done away with, and we're living in an age of grace. And I know I'm massively simplifying, but this antinomianism, this one thing it's being called, this hyper grace, this extreme grace message is everywhere in the body of Christ today. It's very popular, not just, you know, in both charismatic and non-charismatic circles. And it just fits hand in glove with people that don't think that they need to live like Jesus, that Jesus didn't require that, you know? I mean, as if Jesus didn't tell his apostles, you know, go into all the world and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. One element and aspect of this false grace message is that Jesus' teaching in the Gospels doesn't apply to us today. I mean, this is actually being taught by major grace teachers. And there are different degrees to which it's being taught, but, you know, there are people that teach that because Jesus' teaching in the Gospels was before the cross, it doesn't apply to us. It was actually Old Covenant. And how confused could Jesus have been to have, you know, opened his mouth and let that slip out? Oops, did I just tell all of my disciples to go into all the world and tell them to obey everything that I commanded that's recorded in the Gospels? You know? Unbelievable that this message can be peddled as truth. This will come to my message next week about, or the next one I do, I don't know when I'll release it, about why it's so important that we're reading all of God's Word systematically, you know, reading, have a Bible reading plan so that we don't just, you know, go through the, you know, the scriptures and just kind of cherry pick our favorite verses that, you know, allow us to live in disobedience or in compromise or, you know, to neglect things that the scripture, you know, says and teaches clearly again and again and again. But anyway, I just find it ironic that as I was thinking about this verse, for nothing is hidden except it will be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. It dawned on me in a funny way this morning. I had no idea how God would be using Facebook to actually expose the compromise and the immorality in the lives of so many believers by them just sharing openly about the entertainment that they subject themselves to. I mean, my question is, you know, if a believer is willing to put on his Facebook wall that they are, you know, following a television series like Game of Thrones, which is full of lewd immorality and sensuality and a whole spirit of just a demonic spirit from everything I've read and heard about this program and the way it sucks people in. And I'm sure it's very addictive, and, you know, there are television series that I watch, hopefully the ones I watch are, you know, edifying. I watch things like The Flash and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, 24 episodes, you know, I've seen The X-Files. I know how, you know, you get caught up. We get caught up in this stuff. And some of this stuff is very good and very good entertainment. Some of it's not so edifying, I'm understanding. I'm not saying that every episode of every one of those, you know, series I just mentioned, you know, is all, you know, whatever. Anyway, my point here that I'm trying to make is I understand how we get caught up in these things. And we as believers should not be getting entangled and getting caught up and getting addicted to stuff that's actually wearing away at our conscience, wearing away at our very spiritual dynamic of our lives. You know, that's what's happened over the last 30 years is that, you know, there was a time when television and what was in the cinemas was for the most part very wholesome and, you know, if it wasn't outright edifying, it was at least extremely neutral. I mean, I grew up watching stuff like Little House on the Prairie and The Brady Bunch and The Partridge Family and you know, stuff like that. You know, just think back to those days, the Waltons. But, you know, then we you know, fast forward into the 1980s and all of a sudden, you know, there's a slow but steady deterioration of all different type of television, you know. More and more sarcastic, more and more disrespectful, more and more, you know, mocking what we would consider to be traditional roles and traditional families. It's just so funny that, you know, in so many television series, any traditional family is viewed as, you know, backward and dysfunctional, whereas the dysfunctional family or the very, you know, alternative type families are viewed oftentimes in these television series as the normal ones and the ones with wisdom and sensibility. I can, you know, I could give many examples. I'm just thinking of them right now, you know. So, you know, basically believers have allowed Hollywood and, you know, the media to shape them over the period of, and it wasn't, you know, the devil doesn't do anything. He doesn't come into a room, you know, and say, hey, I'm Satan with horns. You know what he does? He has a 30, 40-year plan to, hey, if I can erode away 1 millimeter or 1 centimeter of believers' conscience every year over the course of a decade, 20 years, man, I can completely destroy the foundation that they have. And that's what's happened. And what we're seeing today is we really are seeing that what has been hidden is now being exposed, you know. We find many churches that, you know, 25 years ago were solid, were teaching, you know, apostolic Christianity. And, you know, 25, 30 years later, they've completely abandoned core doctrines of the Christian faith. Stuff that no one has questioned in all of church history. And yet today, you know, the insanity that there are Christians who claim to be evangelical that think that somehow there is a relationship where homosexual men and homosexual women can be in some kind of a relationship, sexual relationship that God would bless. I mean, God help us, you know, that this is where we have, I mean, just to take one example of just where we have slid, where the church has slid literally in the last 30 years. And so I found today, you know, as I was, you know, kicking through my Facebook wall, I was shocked and yet not shocked to see already the number of people who were, you know, glorying in what they did over the weekend and got to see the latest movie that defiled their conscience. And, you know, if they're willing to post Deadpool on their Facebook wall, you know, my question is, what are they not willing to put on their Facebook wall? I mean, it is often, you know, I've often said this, when you see a couple out in public and they're, you know, basically, you know, it's kind of almost like get a room, kind of like, what are you guys doing in public? And the question becomes, you know, regardless, hey, if you guys are doing that in public, what are you doing when you're in semi-private or private? You know, the answer is obviously clear. But anyway, I just found it interesting that I just saw even today a very clear demonstration of what Jesus, a fulfillment, partially, of Jesus' promise, that stuff that is hidden in terms of the state of our morality, the state of our, you know, yeah, just our spiritual state, where we're at, what we tolerate, what kind of entertainment we watch, and what that says about where we're at with the Lord. I mean, honestly, we need a revival. it is time for a revival. We are living in such, you know, a day that is full of so much evil, and yet, sadly, so much of the church doesn't even know, doesn't even call things that are evil, evil anymore. You know, and anybody, you know, there's people that would listen to this podcast right now and would say, oh, this guy's so legalistic. This guy just doesn't understand. You know what? Obeying Jesus is freedom. The commandments of God to live a righteous life and to live free from all of the things that the scripture calls sin is actually, Jesus says, this is freedom. How ironic, how demonic that there are people today that are completely in bondage to sin and compromise, completely. And they think they're free because they don't have, I'm not caught up in all this legalism and, you know, I go see whatever movie I want and I don't worry about these things, you know, I'm free. It's like, you know, isn't it ironic today that the very people that are in the greatest deception and the greatest bondage actually think they're free? You know? God help us. Anyway, this is these are just some of my thoughts as I'm, you know, moving forward in 2016. The scripture speaks about being sober-minded. I feel like there is a sobriety that God has brought into my life in the last 6 to 8 weeks that is unlike any sobriety I've had in my life in years. And, you know, and so it is time, you know, for Christians to repent. You know, that's another thing we don't hear anymore. You know, the very first word out of Jesus' mouth when he mentioned the kingdom was repent. Repent and enter the kingdom. Repent and believe. You know, somehow the repent word has been, you know, flushed away, or hey, we'll get to that later, or hey, we'll, you know, we don't want to be unpopular. It's like we're not helping anybody out if we're telling them that they can enter the kingdom apart from repentance, and that we can live in the kingdom apart from repentance. Anyway. This is DJ. This is the Joel 2 Generation podcast.